Hello and welcome to episode 829 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this afternoon. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Monday, May the 11th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Monday prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain holy perseverance. O Queen of Heaven, I, who was once a miserable slave of Lucifer, now dedicate myself to thee to be thy servant forever. I offer myself to honor thee and serve thee during my whole life. Do thou accept me and refuse me not as I should deserve. O my Mother, in thee have I placed all my hopes. From thee do I expect every grace. I bless and thank God, who in his mercy has given me this confidence in thee, which I consider a pledge of my salvation. Alas, miserable wretch that I am, I have hitherto fallen because I have not had recourse to thee. I now hope that through the merits of Jesus Christ and thy prayers, I have obtained pardon. But I may again lose divine grace. The danger is not past. My enemies do not sleep. How many new temptations have I still to conquer? Ah, my most sweet lady, protect me, and permit me not again to become their slave. Help me at all times. I know that thou wilt help me, and that with thy help I shall conquer if I recommend myself to thee. But this is what I fear. I fear that in time of danger I may neglect to call upon thee and thus be lost. I ask thee then for this grace. Obtain that in the assaults of hell I may always have recourse to thee, saying, Mary, help me. My Mother, permit me not to lose my God. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. 200 days indulgence. Friends, we're going to return to Meditations for Lent by another great saint and doctor of the church, the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. This is for the fourth Monday in Lent. It's titled, Christ by His Passion Merited to Be Exalted. Once again, this is available at the marvelous traditional Catholic website, fisheaters.com. A lot of good stuff there. Head on over to Fish Eaters and check it out. St. Thomas begins with Philippians 2, verse 8. He became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross, for which cause God hath exalted him. Merit is a thing which implies a certain equality of justice. Thus St. Paul says, to him that worketh, the reward is reckoned according to debt, Romans 4:4. Now, since a man who commits an injustice takes for himself more than is due to himself, it is just that he suffer loss even in what is actually due to him. If a man steals one sheep, he shall give back four, as it says in Holy Scripture, Exodus 22:1. And this is said to be merited, inasmuch as in this way the man's evil will is punished. In the same way, the man who acts with such justice that he take less than what is due to him merits that more shall be generously superadded to what he has, as a kind of reward for his just will. So, for instance, the gospel tells us, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, Luke 14:11. Now, in his passion, Christ humbled himself below his dignity in four respects. Number one, in respect of his passion and his death, things which he did not owe to undergo. Number two, in respect to places, for his body was placed in a grave and his soul in hell, that is, in Sheol. Number three, in respect to the confusion and shame that he endured. Number four, in respect to his being delivered over to human authority, as he said himself to Pilate, thou shouldest not have any power against me unless it were given thee from above. John 19:11. Therefore, on account of his passion, he merited a fourfold exaltation. Number one, a glorious resurrection. It is said in the psalm, "Thou hast known my sitting down," that is the humiliation of my passion and my rising up. That's Psalm 138, 1. Number two, an ascension into heaven, whence it is said he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended above all the heavens, Ephesians 4, 9 and 10. Number three, to be seated at the right hand of the Father with his divinity made manifest. Isaiah says, "He shall be exalted and extolled, and shall be exceeding high. As many have been astonished at thee, so shall his visage be in glorious among men." And St. Paul says, "He became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. For which cause God hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names." Philippians 2, 8 and 9. That is to say, he shall be named God by all, and all shall pay him reverence as God. And this is why St. Paul adds that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Number four, a power of judgment. For it is said, "Thy cause hath been judged as that of the wicked. Cause and judgment thou shalt recover." Job 36, 17. So ends the meditation. When we speak of merit in this life and for us, we talk about everything the Lord has merited through his actions. For us in this life, this is a proving ground. We're tested to see what we're made of. If we live a virtuous existence, if we do good, if we avoid evil, if we pray, if we fast, if we frequent the sacraments, do the corporal works of mercy, do the spiritual works of mercy, we avoid sin, even the near occasions of sin, that is building up merit. Because the way we experience heaven will be different for each person. We'll be perfectly satisfied, of course. Heaven is everlasting joy and peace beyond anything we can imagine. But you think of that old phrase about, or that old adage about being filled up with the Lord's grace. You can be filled up with a shot glass. You can be filled up with a gallon jug. You can be filled up with a swimming pool. The receptacle for the water in that instance is full, but the volume, the amount, is greater, obviously, in the gallon jug than it is in the shot glass and in the swimming pool than it is in either one, the gallon jug or the shot glass. That's kind of a way it will be in heaven. There will be degrees in heaven that we experience the majesty, the grandeur of our Lord, the beatific vision, seeing God face to face. In each one of those instances, the receptacle is filled, but it's how much can we hold, how much can we handle? We want to merit as much grace as possible for the next life. The flip side of that coin, there will be various punishments in hell, right? We don't want to think about that. We want to think about the good news of the gospel, but if there's good news, then there's bad news too, right? We can turn away from the truth, and the truth incarnate is our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can choose to serve ourselves in this life. That's what we do when we sin. Dr. Peter Crafe, the eminent Catholic philosopher, says the theme song in Hell is My Way, right? I did it my way. You can talk about the unholy trinity too of me, myself, and I. Well, the demons are narcissists. They're obsessed with themselves. And that's how we become when we sin. And if you fall into mortal sin, if you die in that state, you will be reprobated. Being reprobated means you will be doomed to hell. You will be banished to hell for all eternity and separated from God forever. We don't want that to happen, obviously. We want to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. We don't want to offend God in the slightest thing. So pray the rosary every single day. Like Dr. Taylor Marshall says, if we're not praying the rosary, we're not on the team. It's what the Blessed Mother asked for each time she appeared to the three little shepherds at Fatima. It's the only thing she mentioned every time, is to pray the rosary every single day. So if it's important to the Mother of God, it should be important to us. Our Lady does more for us than we can possibly fathom by her intercession. It's my belief and the belief of many Catholics, much more eminent and much holier than yours truly, that it's only because of Our Lady's intercession that there have not been more calamities at this point in human history than there have already been. She loves us with her perfect motherly heart, her perfect immaculate heart. And she's always bringing Jesus to us. I'm looking right now at a statue of Our Lady of Victory. She's holding baby Jesus. It was a statue that my dearly beloved papa received, my maternal grandfather, Chester Lolito, when he retired from working at Our Lady of Victory Basilica in Lackawanna. He worked there as a custodian for a few years after he was laid off from the steel plant. He was also in the Navy before that. Probably the hardest working man I've ever met in my life. And a true gentleman. No one was more loyal, no one was more honest than my papa. Anyway, the statue that he received when he retired, beautiful statue of Our Lady, and what is she doing? Our Lady of Victory is bringing baby Jesus to us. That's what she always does. She's always bringing our Lord to us. She's always pointing to him. Like Father Ripperger says, she's totally consumed with the Lord, and anything that's good in us is from God. So she loves us, because anything that's good in us is God living in us. And that's what she loves about us. And she's dedicated to us, and she loves us. Go back to the foot of the cross when our Lord says to St. John, "Behold your mother," and to Our Lady, "Woman, behold your son." At that point, St. John takes Our Lady into his home to take care of him. To take care of her, I should say, after our Lord is crucified. And she loves him, St. John, as her own son. And she loves us as her own sons and daughters. Because that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ wants it. She does her son's will perfectly. So let's ask Our Lady of Fatima for her intercession today to love Jesus more and more and more. And let's ask Jesus to love Our Lady more, because he wants her loved. He wants her to be honored, and he does not like it at all when she's blasphemed. Let us conclude by mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, and that of her family, breaking through to open communication via RPM, we know she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille for the blind in terms of their being able to read. It's that massive, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread the message far and wide. Tell people about those episodes of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast and that website. And imagine how frustrated and sad you would be if you were unable to communicate. I've had the privilege of coming to know several non-speakers in addition to my niece who've broken through to open communication via RPM, and they're some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent human beings you'd ever meet. So thanks for helping out. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.